Well, it's great to have all of you here this morning as we kick off our month-long focus on prayer. In case you're wondering, what is that squeaking sound coming from at the back, behind the curtains? Well, I've been told by the caretaker there's this huge mouse they've been unable to attach, and no, it's not a mouse. Apparently, someone's left the slush puppy machine on, and that's what the rotor is turning, and it's squeaking, and they've apologized. They said that they will make sure it doesn't happen again, and who knows, maybe we can all get some free slush puppies for our inconvenience. But take out your Bible and turn over to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 31. I had the opportunity to hear a song yesterday for the first time, entitled "That's My Dad." In fact, I want to share the words with you if I can. trust me, you don't want me to sing it. That's all I'm saying. But these are the words. It says, "My dad is like no one else I've ever known. My dad, I remember each evening when he'd come home to see how he'd smile and have all the while the love that he always would show. My dad could never have been a better friend to me. My dad, I could turn to him no matter what would be. This friend firm and true, what one man can do, this person who's given so much. I could never say thank you, I could say thank you 1,000 times, but I never could say it enough. Who always brings the son home with him, that's my dad, that's my dad. And who always knows the right song to sing, and I know when not to sing, that's my dad. That's my dad. Stood by me when my world was shaking. Held my hand when my heart was aching. He picked me up when I fell down. I could say I love you 1,000 times, but I never could say it enough. Who always hangs the world on a string? That's my dad. That's my dad. Who is the one who taught me so many things? That's my dad. That's my dad. How can you say thanks to someone? Someone who means so much. Touched my life so deeply. That's my dad. No, I wish that was my dad. But I heard that song, I was very moved and touched by that. And, you know, for many of us, we didn't have that kind of relationship with our earthly fathers. And so, in many ways, it's affected our view of our Heavenly Father. But what I want us to encourage us to do is to get the right view from Scripture about what our Heavenly Father is really like. Because God wants and desires and longs for a relationship with each and every one of us. And you know, as we take this month to really focus on our prayer lives, both individually and corporately, really it's all about drawing close to God. And you know, the first three chapters of the book we're all reading together, they all fall under the heading of God calls us into His presence. And the first three chapters are focused on. But it's this whole idea is that God wants us to draw near to Him. And that's our desire, you know, particularly over these coming weeks, is for us to have a closer, deeper relationship with God than we've had up until previously in our Christian lives. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, as verse 5, as Leslie shared during the communion, God has adopted us to be His children. The Bible says He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. 1 John 3, verse 1, the Bible tells how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are God's children. Let's look in our Bibles in Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah 31, pick up in verse 1, it says, "At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says, the people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, 'Come, let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God.' This is what the Lord says, 'Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble. Because I am Israel's father and Ephraim is my firstborn son. You're talking about his people Israel. God says, I am their father. They are my son. God has a father-son relationship with all of us. And he longs to bring us back. It says he draws us back with love and kindness. He wants to build us up. He wants us to rejoice in our relationship and our walk with him. That is God's desire. But you know what's interesting is because we don't have that view of God, it's so easy for us to feel distant and not close. That even when we talk about prayer, some of us, you know, we think, well, what is so significant about that anyway? You know, I was reading a book called The Key to Your Child's Heart. And I think I've shared about excerpts from that book before in over the years. But, you know, I was reminded of it just this week, because, you know, Julie and I got some time with Godwin and Necker, and we were just talking about our past and our upbringing. And I was sharing with Godwin about, you know, with my father being absent in my childhood, I don't feel emotionally close to God. God, to me, feels distant a lot of the time. And there are times when I've had some just incredible experiences in my prayer life, and my walk with God, but for the most part, it's not a natural thing for me just to feel emotionally close to God. I feel distant. Prayer has never been one of the strengths in my Christian life. I look back on my childhood life and I can see why. That there's just been this lack of communication. In fact, communication in general has never been a strength in my life. And I'm more likely to communicate in monosyllabic terms and just one word of responses. Even when I was at school, my biology teacher critiqued me on that. He said, you've got to, in response to some of the questions that are put to you, you've got to give more than just the most basic of answers. You've got to expand a little bit. And that's something I've had to continually work on. But, you know, for a lot of us, we are affected by not just our own fathers or our upbringing, but we are affected just by life in general. And, you know, one of the things it says in this book, it talks about how, you know, we can shut down our children's heart. And you know, and you can tell if your child's heart is closed off because, you know, they withdraw, they don't want to talk, they're not very communicative, you know, they don't want to be touched, they don't want to show physical affection. And it's not that they don't really want these things, but it's rather that they've been closed down, they've been hurt. And he gives an example. You know, this guy who writes this book, he's a trained counselor. And, you know, one of the rules in his house is when he's on the phone talking to people, that his kids, they have to be quiet and they cannot make a lot of noise. He doesn't want his clients thinking that he can't even control his own family. And so that's one of his rules. And he said he's on the phone one day when his younger son, Greg, who was 5 years old at the time, started screaming. And he was on the phone, he's like, you know, and he opened the door and his son was there and he was communicate to his son to be quiet, and his son was carrying on screaming, and so he's still on the phone, he's communicating to his son, if you're not quiet, I'm going to spank you, and he's communicating this, and you know, with his gestures, but his son carried on crying, and he said he had to cut short the conversation with the client, and said he'd get back to him, he hung up, and he said he was just feeling the blood boil, because it was a clear and definite rule in the house, don't make noise when dad's on the phone. And so he grabbed his son, he said, why were you screaming? Couldn't you see I was on the phone? And didn't wait for an answer, he just grabbed his son by the arm, marched him off up to his bedroom, and spanked him. And his son then, when he was carrying on crying, and then he said, you know, usually after he spanked his children, he takes the time just to reconnect and bond and hug and everything else. But his son was having none of it. His son just totally pulled back and didn't want to even be touched by his dad. He looked at him, and the dad looked at his son. He could tell, man, the look in his son's eyes was one of pure hatred. And he thought, there's something seriously wrong. And so
he was very calm and very gentle. He said, "Greg," he said, "why were you screaming?" And his son was really kind of angry. He said, "You know, I fell in the bathroom. I hit my ear on the bath and I hurt my ear." And he looked at his son's ear and it was swollen and bleeding. And he said, "And then when you grabbed me and you pushed me against the wall and I hit my ear again and it's hurt even more." And in the book, the dad's right. He said, he just felt so horrible. He felt like he was a child abuser. He felt like he was just, And he said, at that point, he said, "Son, I am so sorry." And he had to say it a few times to get through. But he's like, "Son, I am so sorry. I'm the one who deserves to be spanked. What I did was so wrong. I hurt you, and he said, "I know I don't deserve it, but can you find it in your heart to forgive me?" You know, his son looked at him and then he threw his arms around him and he hugged him. And he says, you know, they lay that way with his son on his chest, lying down for about half an hour. And then afterwards he asked him again, "Son, let me have a look at your ear." And he says, "Is it okay?" He says, "It's okay, Dad." He said, "You know, can you forgive me?" And his son said, "Dad, of course I forgive you." And he gave him a pat on the back and said, "We all make mistakes." But you know, our hearts can get shut down when we have been wronged, when we've been badly treated, when we've been unfairly treated, when life problems have hurt us, when someone has sinned against us, they've broken our trust, they've hurt us, they've abused us, they've been mean to us or angry with us, maybe they've raised their voice to us. You know, oftentimes my kids would say, "Dad, why are you shouting?" When I wasn't shouting, but I was just having a conviction. And you know, we can so easily get shut down and pull back and feel just distant and get closed off. And sometimes we just need to have our hearts reconnected and reopened so that we can once again just desire that relationship with God. You know, life does that to us. And we go through difficult times. You know, just things happen. You know, we go through bereavements. We go through periods of ill health. And it can cause us to shut down and pull away from God. The very person that we should be drawing close to and wanting to initiate with. And you know, because of all these different things, we don't communicate the way we ought to or should. You know, I was chatting to a brother in the south this morning, in the south sector of a London church. Roger Frimpong, many of you will know Roger. He's actually older than me, I believe, but he looks young. But he's a small, very slim Ghanaian fella who's always joyful, no matter what is going on in his life. I remember last year when he was sharing about, when he was sharing about losing his job. You know, he and his wife have adopted two girls. And just shortly after that, his wife's health was very, very poorly. And then shortly after that, he lost his job and life has been very difficult, but you wouldn't know it, because when you talk to Roger, he's always so joyful and giving, and you know, God has since blessed him. He's blessed him with working for a job with the Samaritans as one of their accountants. In fact, actually, he's just been promoted a few times since that in that job, and now he's one of the main guys in that organization in the accountancy department. It's just amazing how God has really blessed his life. I say it's amazing. It's just an answer to prayer is what it is. But Roger, he's a faithful man, and we were chatting on the phone this morning. He was making me cry as he was just sharing some things, and he was telling me about a work colleague who he'd just been reaching out to. This friend, they had this meeting of all the heads of departments, and Roger was there, and this guy was there, and they work in different parts of the company, but he knows this fella is a Manchester United supporter. And, you know, back at the end of last year, I think it was like December 30th, Manchester United played a game against Wigan and they won 5-0. And so the next day in work, Roger was there and talking to this guy, I think it was about New Year's Eve, and he was chatting to this guy and he said, "Hey, isn't that great about Manchester United?" And they got talking there and the guy was really happy about his team and everything. And so anyway, this fella asked Roger, he said, "Hey, how was your Christmas?" And Roger said, "Oh, I had a great Christmas, although this morning was a bit bad. I had a row with my wife." And the guy looked at him And he said, really? Yeah. And Roger started to tell him about, we just had this disagreement. We couldn't agree. It was quite whatever. And the guy said, I've not talked to my wife in 3 weeks. Roger said, what? He said, yeah, my wife and I, we've been having terrible arguments, and we're both really stubborn. He said, we're both Pisces, and that means that we're really stubborn people. And he said, we've not talked for 3 weeks. Roger said, but what about Christmas, you know? Since the beginning of December until when Roger was talking to this guy, he hadn't talked to his wife. And Roger said, no kidding. And they got talking. He said, well, look, I was just about to send a text to my wife just to apologize just to tell her I love her. He said, why don't you get your phone and send a text to your wife? The guy was like, what? And Roger said, I persuaded him. And so the guy went and got his phone, and together they sent a synchronized text to each of their wives saying, I love you. And this guy Roger was sharing about, he said he's a really tall guy. There used to be a guy in the North Church who's now in Italy, a guy called Alex Guglielmi, really big Italian fella. He said this guy he works with is just like him. He's really tall and big. And there they were, and Roger is really small and Ghanaian. But they both send their text, and they said, ready, and they sent it together, I love you. He said within a second of his wife receiving the text, this man's wife receiving the text, she immediately rang him back. They hadn't talked for 3 weeks. She got this text from her husband, she immediately rang him back, and they started talking. And as they started talking, this guy started getting emotional. He had to walk back to his desk, and he was starting to cry, and all the people in the workplace there would come up to Roger saying, what did you say to him? What did you say to make him cry? And after the phone call, this guy came back to Roger, and he was in tears, and he'd been talking to his wife, and they wanted to, because it's amazing, because right before that conversation, the guy told Roger, he said, we've not talked in 3 weeks. He said, it's probably going to end in divorce, and I don't care. And now all of a sudden, it's like just totally transformed. And he came, and he just thanked Roger for encouraging him to send that text, and he gave Roger a hug. And Roger said, I was swallowed up in his stomach. Here's this big guy hugging this little guy. And he said, I knew everyone in the office was looking at us. what Roger was saying was just how, as Christians, we forget how blessed we are. We have our struggles, we have our problems, but because we try and do things the way the Bible tells us to, it's amazing how our lives are so vastly different to the majority of people who are not Christians, who are not, who don't have the same benefits and blessings that we have. And here's this guy whose wife was totally shut down. Both of them were shut down, just not talking to each other. That's what happens. When our hearts, we get hurt and we pull away. And we can do that in our relationship with God. But the reason we do it in our relationship with God is because we don't have the right view of God. Sometimes we see God as being this angry judge who's waiting to pounce on our every false step. That's not God. God is a loving Father. He cares for us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He desires to be close to us. God's heart is, he just wants to just to be with us on a daily basis. He wants to walk with us every day. And he wants to bless us. He wants to, and as you read through the first three chapters of the book, you'll see that God, he is the perfect Father. Not only does he want to bless us, but he's able to bless us. And this month, as we take the time to really focus on our prayer life, and as we take the time to really do things to help draw us closer to God, it's not about going through the motions. It's not, this week we're encouraging people to take the time to fast. And if your health allows you to, I'd encourage you to fast for 3 days. And you can do whatever fast you want, whether it's just a water-only fast or a Daniel fast or whatever. But I want to encourage us just to do more than we've ever done. But the reason we do that isn't so that we will get God's attention. On the back of the newsletter, we've given some suggestions throughout the month. That this is week one, we want to fast. Week two, we want to maybe have an extra long times with God in our quiet times. To at least 3 days of that week, just say, okay, I'm gonna have an hour long time with God. The third week, we want to take times when we get on our knees frequently throughout the day, just to pray to God. That fourth week, we want to have an all-night prayer time. But we do these things not because we need to somehow get God's attention. That's not what it's about. See, God doesn't need us to do all this stuff in order to draw close to us. God's there already. He wants a relationship with us regardless. It's not about our specific actions. Although, of course, James 2 tells us deeds are important. But it's about our heart. God wants our heart. Look in Micah chapter 6, and you know the scripture. In Micah chapter 6, and see what he says here. In verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, God is looking at our hearts. Like Jesus quotes this passage in the New Testament a few times. It's I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It's not about the external things. It's about the heart. If you have the heart, the other things will follow. But that is what God is interested in. He wants us to be close to him. He wants to be close to us. He wants us to be united. And he desires to have that relationship with us. You know, fasting will help us just to be able to draw closer to God. It sharpens our focus. Psalm 46 tells us that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He says, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, God wants us to be still and to know who he is. And if we can just realize that the one we serve and the one we worship is the all-powerful, almighty creator of the universe. He knows everything about us. He knows us inside out. He knows our sins and he still loves us. And he wants that relationship with us. If we can understand he's merciful and compassionate and forgiving, and we need to imitate him. And as we forgive others, so that we can draw closer to God. But understand this, if we recognize that God is able, then why wouldn't we want to come to him in prayer? If we know that not only is he able, but he is willing, he wants to bless us, then why wouldn't we come before God in prayer? If I have something that any of my children need, of course I want them to ask. If you need it. But I want them to ask. If they need something and they say, Dad, I really need this. And I'll say, you know what? Absolutely. If it's in my power, absolutely. Well, everything is within God's power. Sometimes, though, the things we pray for aren't really the things we need. And we'll understand that more and more as we get into God's Word and as we pray on a consistent and regular basis. But for today, I just want to encourage all of us is to come into God's presence. This week, make that a focus. God is able. You know, we hear about what's going on in Haiti, and we think, what can I do? And I'm glad that we can at least organize some donations that we can send over there and things like that. But we're so far away, and there's so little we can do, and we may be powerless, but God is not. We can pray for our brothers and sisters. You know, at this point in the church in Haiti, there's over 50 people still unaccounted for. I think actually there's 50 people still unaccounted for in the church. Which, there's a good chance that a number of those people are dead. We know already of at least 12 people who have died in the church. And there are many more. But it's not just that. There are people who are family. It's great to have Sinez with us this morning. But there are people in our church who have family members over there, who have lost people. I heard of a brother in Chicago, a Haitian brother, who's lost 50 family relatives in the earthquake. And another person in New York also who's lost tens of relatives. It's just so sad. And there's so little that we can do, but God is powerful. We can pray for our brothers and sisters. We can pray for that nation. We are not able, but God is able. And if we understand that God is almighty, then why wouldn't we go to God in prayer? If we understand that God wants to take care of us, God wants to meet our needs, we may be going through all kinds of turmoil, struggle, and difficult times right now in our own lives. But God wants to take care of us. The Bible says He wants to comfort us. Jesus says, "How I've longed to gather you like a mother hen gathers its chicks." He desires to do that for us. And He has the power in his grasp just to be able to help us. Why would we turn away and say, "Well, you know, I'm going to try and do it on my own"? Why would we do that? I just want to close out by sharing with you just some scriptures about how God feels towards us. And you've seen this many times, I'm sure, but it's how God calls us His child. He simply says this, and these are different quotations from the Bible. Maybe, Max, if you can put it on the screen. "My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down, when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. For even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I'm not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Simply because you are my child, and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are as countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I'll never stop doing good to you. For you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you will seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. And if you let me, one day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And I will take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father and I love you. Even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. And to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw you the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I've always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I'm waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God." Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you love us more than we can ever imagine and certainly more than we deserve. We want to thank you that you care for us. You know everything about us and you are just waiting to bless us. Father, I pray that we can be drawn to you. I pray, Father, that no matter how we've been hurt, no matter how we've suffered, I pray that we will open up our hearts to you. And I pray, dear God, that during these coming weeks ahead, that our relationship with you can deepen more profoundly than we would ever have thought possible. I pray, Father, that as a church, that our faith in you and our trust in you can be stronger than it's ever been. And I pray, Father, that as we draw closer to you, that we will be more eager and excited to share the incredible joy of our relationship with you with others. Lord, thank you for Jesus, who makes all this possible. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Really exciting to hear that, actually. I think when, as a church, we said we were going to have a month of prayer, and then you read a book like, you know, Too Busy Not to Pray, it's easy to think, okay, we're going to be focused on the how to pray, but so inspiring to hear that the how is secondary, really. What's most important is the who we're praying to. And I'll really encourage with the picture, not just the picture that Mike painted, but that the Bible paints of the God, the true God that we pray to, the true God that we serve. So I'm really excited that this is a month for all of us to grow in our understanding of who our God is and to see how that transforms our prayer life. So thanks again, Mike, for what you shared. At this point, we're going to stand up and sing our final